So when you picture a server rack, you probably just imagine a glorified metal bookshelf holding a few blinking routers. But for today's deep dive, we're pulling from this detailed industry fabrication guide, and our mission here is to uncover how manufacturers are physically pulling off what is frankly an engineering miracle.
Yeah, absolutely. These seemingly simple cabinets have evolved into these, well, highly complex, breathable fortresses.
Right, exactly. I mean, consider this staggering detail from the guide. These metal structures must survive being transported across the entire country, completely fully loaded with tech gear, at weights exceeding 10,000 pounds.
Oh man, that 10,000-pound figure is just a brutal, non-negotiable delivery condition. Every single physical specification of that rack has been pushed to the absolute limit just to make that possible. I mean, even the holes in the doors, right? They are no longer just a cosmetic pattern choice.
Wait. Really? The holes are functional.
Oh yeah, totally. Door perforations are now these strict mathematical airflow calculations dictated entirely by the equipment inside. Because the heat loads are massive, routinely hitting densities of like 10 to 30 kilowatts per rack.
Wow, 30 kilowatts? That is insane.
Yeah, the enclosure has to breathe perfectly, or, you know, the equipment simply cooks.
Okay, let's unpack this, because that need for perfect airflow actually explains this massive shift happening inside the racks themselves. All those traditional thick power cables, well, they act like dams blocking the circulation the servers desperately need.
Right, they just get in the way.
Exactly. So to let the rack breathe, 70% of new data center projects are ditching traditional cables entirely. They are moving to solid copper bus bars, which are basically these flat, solid metal strips that conduct electricity while taking up a fraction of the physical space.
It is a total paradigm shift in power distribution, and the sheer volume of metal involved completely changes the dynamic of the factory floor.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The scale is just insane. To feed just a single NVIDIA 1 MW rack, it can take up to 200 kilograms of that copper busbar. 200 kilos.
That is so much raw copper arriving on the factory floor, and it has to be cut and bent on the exact same schedule as the metal enclosure housing it. What's fascinating here is that fitting this massive amount of copper perfectly is fundamentally a thermal issue, not just a matter of making things look neat.
Right, because of the raw power involved.
Exactly. When dealing with these massive currents, if a bolted joint connecting two bus bars is even a fraction of a millimeter off, it creates electrical resistance. And at these amperages, resistance immediately turns into massive heat.
Which degrades the copper further, right?
Right, you got it. It increases the resistance again until you risk a total meltdown and critical failure.
So there is literally zero margin for thermal or dimensional errors here, which means this whole seven-station manufacturing process they use just has to be entirely rigid. But, I mean, if data center demand is so high right now, why don't fabricators just buy faster machines or hire a huge wave of new workers?
We just build a bigger kitchen and hire more chefs.
Yeah, exactly. If demand is infinite, why not?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, machine speed and raw headcount are not the actual bottlenecks. The real limits on the factory floor are changeovers between different cabinet heights, moving heavy materials between workstations, and most importantly, operator-dependent finishing.
Operator dependence, so like human hands doing the actual work.
Right. Take welding, for example. Welding output only scales with how many skilled welders you have on the floor. And there is a massive skilled labor shortage globally. You simply cannot buy your way out of a backlog if nobody is there to hold the torch.
Which I guess forces manufacturers to get creative, right? The fastest factory line is actually the one that removes the human hand entirely. Like, the guide highlights this thing called cold corner forming.
Oh, yeah, that is a total game changer.
Yeah, instead of relying on a welder's touch for the corners of the rack, which then requires, you know, grinding and polishing and repainting, a machine uses immense pressure to just fold and close the corner from the parent material itself.
And that automated pressure guarantees an identical geometry and a perfect IP rating every single time, meaning there are absolutely no microscopic gaps for dust or moisture to sneak in and fry the servers. It completely eliminates human variation.
Because if you have human variation on every single part, you get what the guide calls tolerance stacking, right?
Yes.
That's where all the parts might pass inspection individually, but when you put them together, those tiny fractions of a millimeter errors add up all in the same direction. Suddenly, your door doesn't close, and the whole cabinet fails final assembly.
Right. The ultimate goal of this manufacturing line is converting human judgment into an automated machine setting. Any process that relies on, you know, feel or experience is a huge liability when you need thousands of identical zero-tolerance enclosures.
So what does this all mean for you? The next time you stream a video or load a massive cloud app, take a second to think about the precision-punched 10,000-pound metal beast keeping it online. Hardware is proving to be just as critical and, frankly, just as complex as the software it runs.
Totally. And if the whole trajectory of this industry is about removing human judgment to build the perfect enclosure, it leaves us with an incredible question. How will these factory floors change when the very AI servers housed inside those breathable fortresses become smart enough to design the assembly lines themselves?